Hey everyone, it's Todd. Just in case you missed it, I've been doing these live shows on Fridays, and you can check them out by going to getvocal.206geek.com. That's getvocal.206geek.com. They're live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, and they get saved there on the website. And they also get simulcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So if you're already following the podcast, you should be able to find the videos there. But if you want to be a part of the live show, you can by going to getvocal.206geek.com on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific. It's getvocal.206geek.com. And if you're not able to because of work and or other obligations, it's okay. You can check out the recorded episode on the same site. They're going to be there in the previous episodes or past episodes. I don't know if I'll ever post those episodes here, although I might. So stay tuned and check it out on Fridays, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I'm your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and this is episode, 102? Yes, 102. And, you know, it's been a week, and I've been trying to do, get vocal, and I'm trying to get people over there to watch live, to interact with me. So I'm asking these questions, like, for the next couple of weeks. I think one of the questions is, what is your favorite Batman? In your opinion, what is the best Batman? And you know what? If you have thoughts on who the best Batman is on screen or animated, go ahead and come over on Friday and be a part of the conversation. Go to getvocal.com. 206geek.com. That's getvocal.206geek.com on Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific. And I believe that is 7 Eastern. And joining the chat, it will be simulcast on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And so you can also watch there. Because it's simulcasting on multiple platforms, I'm going to try to keep an eye on comments on the other platforms, but it's best if you guys come over to Get Vocal and comment in there, because then that's the one window I'll have open on my computer. I'm going to try to have the others open on a different screen. So I can at least see if I have comments. Last week I had comments from a young man from the UK who was watching via Twitch, and he had shared with me his Instagram account where he had his artwork up, and it was very good. So give that episode a listen on Get Vocal and I believe I talk about his art there and give out his Instagram handle. I can't remember off the top of my head, but very nice young man. Anyways, so that's some of the things I wanted to talk about today. Next weekend is going to be DC's Fandome. I'll be talking about that. We've got some of the schedule things going on, new titles. Then we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans are in, immensely happy with the series finale. Yeah, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. Sad to see it go. And then somehow I missed this year, or even last year for that matter, that there was mention of a National Treasure TV series in the works for Disney Plus. I'll talk about that. And then talk about the MCU is now 100% available on Disney Plus. So every Marvel Studios movie is now there. We'll talk about that. And then I guess Star Trek has 10 movies stardate. Star Trek 10 movie stardate collection re-released on Blu-ray with digital codes. So all of the Star Trek movies are now available on Blu-ray and digital. So that's cool. And then we have Ahsoka and Boba Fett Disney Plus shows are in development. Wow, that's cool. Shazam 2 filming update indicates that movie won't be delayed. So that's also very cool. Somebody found the audition tapes for Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure audition tapes. And then we have a story here about The Flash Season 7 with Grant Gustin, Candace Patton, plans to start filming this fall in Vancouver. And then we have creators reveal how and where the idea for Bill and Ted started. I've heard the story. It's actually pretty cool. Originally there was going to be a third guy. That kind of evolved. The characters evolved, and then the third guy kind of stopped being a thing. Let's see here. Kevin Smith has a story for Tusk 2. I didn't care for the first one, so I'm probably not going to see the second one. Unless, of course, we have some sort of like rehabilitation for the guy. He got turned into a human walrus. Sorry, spoilers. God, that was terrible. I know a lot of people like it, but I only watched it because I wanted to see the costume. I thought the story was kind of weak. Maybe it's because I'm a podcaster and I don't think I would ever... I don't think I would ever... go meet somebody I don't know at their home in the middle of nowhere for a story. For something like that, I would do a remote interview, have them call in. I wouldn't drive out to, yeah, no. Nope, that would never happen with me. All right. And then we have Amazon Prime debuting 8 brand new Blumhouse movies starting this October. And then we have Mulan Disney Plus reveals how Premier Access purchase will work. So on top of your monthly subscription to Disney Plus, they want you to pay to be able to watch Mulan, the live action Mulan. I think I will wait till it becomes free on Disney Plus before I see it. I'm not paying an extra... Okay, we'll get into that story when I get to that story. I'm not going to talk about it now. New Star Wars Holiday Special coming to Disney Plus. That one's kind of cool. James Gunn, Suicide Squad cast, teased DC fandom. And finally, this one that I found today... Swamp Thing premiere date for the CW has been announced. So, that is awesome. I mean, it really is, because I don't know. I think that they're probably going to, at least I would think anyway, they're going to, I'm sorry, I have a brain fart here. They're going to probably censor a bit of it, or maybe they'll, you know, edit out a lot of stuff. Hopefully they'll just bleep it. I wouldn't want them to change anything as far as, you know, how the show progresses and stuff. I think all they should do as far as like they probably are going to edit things. So, I was talking about the Swamp Thing premiere on the CW. All right, so get this over here. Okay, hopefully your guys' week was pretty good. Mine was all right. I've been having some issues with, I've been having issues with my own, how to put this, not sound over dramatic or whatever. I've been having some depressive thoughts. Let's put it that way. I've been kind of shitting on myself and not feeling great, So it's been rough. It's been rough. I'm starting to feel better about things. I'm not as wound up about it. Let's see here. Putting all the links on Facebook while I'm thinking about it. Okay. There we go. Like I said, it's been a rough week for me. So hopefully this week will be better. I won't be. I'm doing my best to not focus too much on the negative. Trying to stay positive about things, and it's sometimes that's very difficult for me. I tend to like hyper focus on things that are not great and get stuck in that. All right, so let's talk about that first story here, the DC fandom. Let's see. DC fandom reveals Epic schedule new titles. DC fandom has finally launched its official schedule. And it's stacked with exciting events. The Hall of Heroes section of DC fandom will play host to the biggest movie titles and some upcoming video games. Well, Watchverse section of the events will be focused on television shows such as The Flash, Batwoman, Doom Patrol, animated titles, kids titles, comics, cosplay, and more. We'll be filling out the events and more will be filling out the event in the U-verse, Insiderverse, Funverse, and DC Kids fandom sections of the event. It's a real-life DC multiverse that's about to go down on August 22nd for 24 hours. Now, I looked at this list of the schedule, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to be up that early. And then I scrolled down a little bit further, and I realized that a lot of things were replayed later in the day. So for those of us on the West Coast, and you're not like... not morning people like myself. You don't have to be up early to watch this stuff. You can watch it on the replay. All these times that I'm gonna be reading off here are all East Coast time or Eastern time. I don't know if it's Eastern Standard right now or what, but it's East Coast time either way. All right, so starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, Wonder Woman 1984 panel with Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig. Actually, it's not giving the first names. Pascal and Jenkins. I don't know. Oh, Pascal, I think that's the dude that plays the Mandalorian, and Jenkins is the director. All right. Also at 1 p.m. Eastern time is the Flash TV series. So the first one is going to be in the Hall of Heroes. The second one is going to be in Watchverse. This next one at 1:30 is going to be Warner Brothers Montreal game announcement in Halls of Heroes. Black Lightning is at 1:45 Eastern on the Watchverse. The Flash panel with Miller and Muschietti, Muschietti, is going to be in Hall of Heroes. That's going to be the Flash movie. So that's cool. I'm not going to read all of these out. There's a bunch of them here, guys. And all the links, like I say in every week of the show, all the links are going to be at notes.206geek.com. I just posted the links for today in there. And what I would suggest is on that page just above where it gives like the initial list of this schedule, there's a link that says the official website. Go to the official website and check it out. And that will give you everything scheduled. And then the thing that's really cool about the DC fandom homepage is that it has links to, you can sign up for an account there so you can get reminders. You can also save the different panels and events to your calendar, and then that will remind you. But I did the calendar thing with mine, and it doesn't link you to where you can watch, so I'm assuming you have to come back to the DC fandom website to actually, sorry, I got distracted for a second. Right. So the schedule, not like linking you to where you can watch. I think you just got to go to the DC fandom website, and, you can probably, there will be links there, I would imagine. Cause when I did my schedule, there wasn't links to the, let me see. I'm confirming now, because it didn't when I first set up the Google Calendar thing for some of these events. It didn't have a link. It just says where it's located. Hall of Heroes, yeah. So I think what you want to do is you want to go over to DC Fandom's website, and I would imagine when things go live, there will be links to stuff. All right. Of course, now that I'm doing all this, now my body's like, hey, you haven't eaten today. You should go eat something. I'm not gonna do it right now. I'm gonna finish recording this and then I'll go eat. It's been so darn hot. yesterday it was like almost 90 degrees. Was it almost 90 or was it almost 100? Either way, it was fucking hot. Luckily for me, it hasn't been too bad because of where I'm at and the fact that I have a fan. And, you know, it's been, I don't know, maybe it's because I have my fan going, and then I have I have the basement door open so that cool air from the basement comes up into the rest of the house. Okay, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a quick break. I'm only going to pause. You guys won't notice a difference. I'll stop, and then I'll be right back, because I am going to make myself something to eat. All right, and I'm back. Yeah, I had to get something because my stomach was like, and I did not want it to come on, make itself be known on the mic. So I had to appease the almighty stomach. So I was talking about DC fandom and the schedule and all that. So I'll also, you know what? I think I will put the link to the homepage in the links. Let's see here. Copy link address. And I'll put it in the show notes over here. Where's the... Oh, you know what? I don't have to worry about... Or do I? Hold up. Where's the... Oh, there it is. Edit note. It's like, where's the edit button? I'm not seeing the edit button. Why isn't there an edit button? I'll put the link to the schedule in there, right towards the top, underneath the link from comicbook.com about the DC fandom. Let's see here. Go ahead and save that then. All right. The other thing, you know what? Let me see if I can find an actual story about it. I think there was, that's why I found out about it. There was a new thing about DC Universe is going to change. I think it was Jim Lee said something about DC Universe is at some point going to remove all the original content that's been created for it. They're going to be moving over to HBO Max. And that was the whole reason for me getting DC Universe, was to watch the original content. You know, I'm really disappointed, honestly, that this stuff is going away. I paid for a whole year of access, thinking that I was going to have all these great shows to watch, new episodes and whatever else. And now they're only going to be on HBO Max. So that's some bullshit. I was not happy about that. Let's see if I can find a story. All right. But yeah, they... Let's see here. Jim Lee. DC Universe. Okay, here's a story, and I'll put this in the show notes too. Is DC Universe getting shut down? Here's what DC's Jim Lee said. The recent shakeup at Warner Media has left consumers with a number of questions regarding DC Comics, especially when it comes to the future of DC Universe streaming service. The streamer's fate has already been in doubt for some time, but with most of its staff having reportedly been laid off, fans are more curious than ever about what lies ahead of it, for it, rather. Now, DC Comics publisher and chief creative officer Jim Lee has provided some clarity on what to expect from the service moving forward. Quote, the original content that is on DCU is migrating to HBO Max. Truthfully, that is the best platform for that content. The amount of content you get, not just DC, but generally from Warner Media, is huge, and it's the best value proposition. If I'm allowed to use that marketing term, we feel that it's the place for that. You know, that's great. If it's making you more money because people who've already paid for a year subscription now have to pay more to gain regain access to the items that they thought they had already paid for. I mean, I understand, you know, at least I think, I understand, you know, people need to be able to pay their bills and stuff. But, you know, if I'm paying for something, I expect to be able to have access to the things I'm paying for. I paid for a whole year of DC Universe after I got my stimulus check. If I would have known it was going to, like, disappear, I would have not paid for a whole year. I would have been paying monthly to have access to the things that I was wanting to watch. But now all those things are now being moved over to HBO Max. Which I don't have, and I don't know if I'll have for a while. I was thinking at some point I was going to have to figure out how to get my hands on it so I could watch the Snyder Cut. And I thought, you know, if at the very least I'll pay for a month and be able to watch the Snyder Cut and a few episodes of some TV shows that are on there, maybe a movie or two. But I wasn't planning on, like, subscribing for months so I could watch a TV show that comes out once a week, you know. I might be able to, if I pay for a month, I might be able to watch at least 4 or 5 episodes. Most TV shows are more than that, though, in a month, or not in a month, but a season of American TV shows is usually, I think, 22 episodes. Subscription like that for only a month would not cover the entire season. So, I don't know, he seems to think it's like, it's okay because you'll still have comic books and you'll still have the community experience that the DCU has created. I don't care about that stuff. That's not why I'm on DCU. If I wanted to read digital comics, I would re-up on my Comixology. Because it wouldn't be just DC, it would be other comics too. You know? Yeah, it's cool that the comic books are there, and it's cool that it has a message board, but I don't use either one of those on DCU. So, I went ahead and changed my subscription so that when my year is up, at the very least, I'll get charged for another month if I'm not on top of it. I'm thinking at some point when I get closer to the end of the year subscription that I'm going to cancel it, and I'm not going to re-up on it, because if they're getting rid of all that stuff, I don't want to spend any more money on something that I'm not going to use. And that's all I have to say about that. All right. The next story here that I was going to talk about was the end of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know what? I watched the season finale, and I liked it. It was very, like most final episodes of shows, there is a heart-wrenching, heartwarming moment in it where you're just like, this is the end, we're not going to see anymore, this is sad. And this has that. It has that, the last season of it, the season before this last season, was so good. I was like, oh man, it's starting to get so good. I hope it goes for a while. Because let's be honest, I didn't care for the season where they're in space in the future. I was like, this when did this go from being like a cop show to like a Space Force show? It was I didn't like it. I'm sorry. But yeah, this final episode was pretty awesome. And this is what it says here on comicbook.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come to an end. In the finale proved to be much happier than almost finale back in season 5. All of the main characters survived, and while Deke is left behind in the new timeline, and Felinda wasn't quite Endgame. Felinda? I think that's the shipping of Agent May and Coulson. The show had a shockingly uplifting finale that left all of the main characters alive and well, while the two-part series finale was airing on ABC. It became the top trend on Twitter. Fans flocked to the social media site to post about the final episode and express their relief over the ending. Quote, I'm going through everyone's tweets, trying to catch up, overwhelmed by all the love. Ugh, what did you all think? # Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Chloe Bennett wrote on Twitter. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It had sad moments, but it wasn't like they killed everybody off so there can never be another episode. So that's awesome. They left it open so that if the powers that be decide to resurrect those characters in a different show, they might be able to do so. I don't know if they necessarily would need to resurrect anybody. They would just say, hey, we're doing a new series. It's a spinoff. You guys want to be a part of it? I think that's probably what's going to happen. Because, you know, the Sword of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, I don't know if it still is, but at some point it was going to be a show on Disney Plus, a spinoff series. You know, and it was really cool to find out, about Fitz and Simmons, why they were doing all this. I don't want to give any spoilers, so I'm not going to say why they did all this. What was the reason behind all the events in this last season? Why she was unable to know where Fitz was, you know, all that stuff. It was really cool. You know, yeah, it was really good. I will say this, though. We get to see Coulson's favorite car again. Hadn't seen that car in a long time, but it was really cool to see her once more. I can't remember what they called it, but so. And I did like the episode where they were in the 80s. That I think that's what sparked my 80s nostalgia this last few weeks. That and, you know, I watched the the Josh Gad YouTube re-edited a part where they did a tease for the next episode of that, which was going to be like a John Hughes episode. It hasn't come out yet, so I'm thinking that they probably have to like work out people's schedules and stuff to record. All right. Next story on the list of things to talk about. National Treasure TV series in the works at Disney Plus. Now, apparently this story was kind of old. This came out in May. So I didn't see it for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I did and I just don't remember. That's a possibility, you know. My brain is not always forthcoming about shit I've actually seen. Sometimes I forget. My brain is terrible like that. Let's see here. This is what it says. Of course, keep in mind this came out in May of this year. So some of this information will be like, duh, we already know this. But I'm reading this article for the story about National Treasure. This is what it says. The slate of original Disney Plus content is rapidly expanding, and fans of the Nick Cage adventure flick National Treasure would be happy to learn that something new from that franchise is on the way. Well, they're in luck because a brand new series based on National Treasure is in the works at Disney's new streaming service. According to a recent report from Collider, producer Jerry Bruckheimer recently spoke with the outlet regarding plans for the future of the franchise, including the possibility of a third film after 2007's National Treasure Book of Secrets. Has it really been that long? Oh my God. I didn't realize that Book of Secrets was 2007. Oh my God, yeah. Those two movies are probably some of my favorites of Nick Cage movies. Actually, they probably are the favorites of Nick Cage movies. It also says here, we're certainly working on one National Treasure for streaming, and we're working on one for the big screen, explained Bruckheimer. It's Bruckheimer. I don't know why I always say Bruckheimer, because there's no O in there. Bruckheimer. Hopefully, they'll both come together and will bring you another National Treasure, but they're both very active. The one for Disney Plus is a much younger cast, and it's the same concept, but a young cast. The one for the theatrical world will be the same cast. So the series will not have Nick Cage, is what I'm getting from that. That's what I was hoping for. I was hoping that Nick Cage was going to start doing a TV show for Disney Plus. Okay. There's a bit more here. I'm not going to read all of that. So if you want to hear more about what they have to say about this, you can go to the show notes, which is notes.206geek.com, and it will be in there. All right, so the next story we have here is every Marvel Studio movie is now streaming on Disney Plus. And you know, that's really cool because, well, now you can have your MCU binge. It may take you a while because it's what, 20 movies? And you figure the average movie is 90 minutes. It may take you a week if you sat there and watched them all end to end. This requires you to not have a job or a life. This is what it says here on comicbook.com. Finally, 9 months after its initial launch, Disney Plus is the streaming home of every existing movie made by Marvel Studios. On Friday, the final piece of the puzzle made its move to the Disney streamer after having spent a year and a half on Netflix. Ant-Man and the Wasp, the third and final cinematic Marvel Cinematic Universe movie released in 2018, left Netflix late last month and made its debut on Disney Plus early Friday morning. And this was posted on August 14th, so just a few days ago. If you recall, Disney and Netflix used to have a deal in which every new release from Disney's studios, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, etc., would head to Netflix months after the theatrical run. Those films would then stream exclusively on Netflix for about 18 months. The deal wasn't renewed heading into 2019, as Disney was planning to launch Disney Plus. However, every movie released in 2018 still had to follow the original deal. Because of this deal, Marvel films like Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, and Ant-Man and the Wasp weren't able to be a part of the opening day roster for Disney Plus. As time has gone on and those deals have expired, those movies slowly made their way to the Disney streamer. Ant-Man and the Wasp was the final MCU movie on that old Netflix deal, meaning that any Marvel films released by Disney going forward will go straight to Disney Plus. At this point, nearly the entire MCU franchise is streaming together on the same platform, the obvious exception being Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Man Far From Home. Since the Spider-Man is owned and distributed by Sony, the movies aren't able to stream on Disney Plus, even though they're still a part of the MCU. Yeah, that sucks. I think Disney's already spent a lot of money acquiring other companies, so they can. I used to joke that the Disney bought Fox because they wanted the X-Men and Deadpool, and that might be part of it, but I don't think that's all of it. I think they wanted to have more content for Disney Plus, or maybe they're going to open another streaming service for Fox. Who knows? I doubt it, though. I think they're just going to put everything on Disney Plus. Let's see here. As for the overall Disney and Netflix deal goes, there are still a handful of films remaining on the latter service. Ralph Breaks the Internet, Christopher Robin, and Mary Poppins Returns are all streaming on Netflix at the moment, but that will change over the next 6 months or so. Mary Poppins Returns will be the very last one to make the jump. You know, I actually liked that one. I really enjoyed it. It was the thing I liked the most about Mary Poppins Returns is the fact that Dick Van Dyke was in it. I think he played a character he played in the original one. Not Bert, mind you, because he can't play Bert unless Bert is, like, old. Like, senior citizen old. But the other part he played in the original one, I think, is the one he played in the new one. So, hopefully you're able to follow that. All right, next on the list of shows to talk about, or stuff to talk about, not shows. Matt Reeves. You know what? I don't think I read this out at the beginning. Matt Reeves will lean into Bruce Wayne's trauma in a fun and surprising ways. Oh, I like this. There's a still shot from the Batman. It shows him standing next to the Batmobile. And the Batmobile, to me anyway, looks like... it either could be like a Mustang or some other muscle car. Like, the whole rear end of it is all like the engine. It doesn't have a trunk. It's just like an exposed engine in the back with two rear fenders. It looks cool. I know probably people are like, dude, what the fuck? No. Like, seriously, though, I like this. You know, I would prefer to see this more than, like, the Tumbler. I did not care for that at all. I know a lot of people that like it, though. I was not one of them. I mean, there were elements of the Nolan Batman movies that I liked, but overall, I just didn't care for them. All right, so this is what this article says. Matt Reeves, the Batman, will dive into Bruce Wayne's trauma, says co-writer. There's a reason Batman is one of DC's best-known characters. The dude has an interesting psyche to dive into. As a kid, he watched his own parents get killed in front of him. Billionaire or not, it's bound to have some sort of effect on him. In Bruce's case, it makes him decide to dress up as a giant bat and wreak havoc on the villains of Gotham City. That may be a reductive way of breaking it down, but you get the point. It's interesting, dark stuff. Yeah, you know, and that's... I have to say this, though, in regards to, like, the Batman Origins. We do not need to see it again. We do not need to see Bruce Wayne see his parents get shot and killed again. Batman's, what, nearly 80 years old? We all know how Batman's parents die. We don't need to see that again. We could go right into him training. We could go in... watching him figure shit out before he turns, you know, becomes the Bat. They kind of did that in the first Nolan Batman movie. Batman Begins shows that. But we don't need to have the origins. Unless you change it sufficiently to the point where we would need to see it in order to understand what's going on, I don't see a point in doing another origin story of Batman. It's been done way too many times. We know the story. His parents are shot and killed. He's traumatized by that. He falls into a cave underneath his house, his mansion. Traumatized by that because of the fall and all the bats that were in the cave. And we don't need that in another Batman story. Let's focus on the rogues gallery, man. Let's focus on other things going on in his life. We do not need to see this is why he does it. We all know, especially those of us who like Batman. We already know all of that. Give us a story that hasn't already been done a million times over. Because every single time there's a new Batman thing, whether it be a movie or a TV show, they always show why and how he becomes the Batman. We don't need to see that again. You know, I think that and, you know, that could also be, like, you know, executives at Warner Media. Although, with the recent house cleaning at Warner Media, maybe we might start getting some, like, Marvel-level DC movies. in TV show. Although, you know what? Greg Berlanti has been doing amazing with has been doing an amazing job with the DC television. Okay, I think so anyway. I mean, I don't know if everybody agrees, but I really like what he's been doing with like the CW shows and all the other shows that were DC related that aren't on the CW that are now going to be on DC, on CW. Like, I'm pretty sure he had something to do with Swamp Thing, and I know he had something to do with Stargirl. Stargirl's finale was pretty awesome, too, by the way. If you haven't watched Stargirl, I recommend checking it out. It's all on the CW app right now. If you haven't watched it and you want to binge it, you can, for free. Although, if you have access to DC Universe, you can binge it all there with no commercials. I would go that route. If you don't have DC Universe, spend the $7 for a month's access and watch Stargirl in all its glory with no commercials. Yeah. Or, you know what? I think it also might be on HBO Max at this point, so that's probably the best way to, you know, it might still be cheaper to do a month of DC Universe and watch it, because I think it's like $15 a month for HBO Max. Alright. Next story on the list of things to talk about. So the Star Trek 10 movie Stardate collection is getting re-released on Blu-ray and digital. So this will include The Motion Picture, The Wrath of Khan, the Search for Spock, The Voyage Home, The Final Frontier, The Undiscovered Country, Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis. So these are the original Star Trek movies. This is the old crew. So those of you that don't like the J.J. Trek movies, now's your chance to get the digital or the Blu-ray. Actually, you're getting the digital with the Blu-ray. I don't know if you can buy the digital by itself. Does it have a price here? This is actually kind of cool. It's $40. Actually, $37. So it's $36.99 on Amazon. Okay, that's the Blu-ray only price. The Blu-ray plus digital is going to be $53.99. Okay, that's I was going to say that's really cheap. Yeah, if you want to get it with digital, then you $54 basically. So I'm probably not going to buy this because, honestly, the only ones that I would care to watch, I think it's, I want to say it's Star Trek IV and all the Next Generation movies. The one, I think The Voyage Home, I think that's the one with the whales. That's my favorite of the original cast movies. Fucking love! I love that movie so much. There's so many great lines in that movie. All right, so Ahsoka and Boba Fett Disney Plus shows in development. This is what it says here on Latino Review. Today we share a report from the folks over at Castle Run Transmissions of a rumored Ahsoka and Boba Fett Disney Plus shows in development. The outlet makes references to a third show, which they don't have any details on. This matches pretty much well with some of our own exclusive information, we have published from our source at Lucasfilm. You can catch the latest KRT podcast. Okay. I guess that's their podcast. I'm not going to talk more about that. Because you're listening to me, right? No, actually, no. You know what? I shouldn't be your only source for stuff. So if you want to go check out somebody else's podcast, I'm not going to stop you. I can't stop you. Doesn't do me any good to try. Not that I'm actually trying. All right, this is what it says. What else does it says here? It says, let's go back to June when LRM, which is the site, LRMonline.com, which is Latino Review Magazine, I believe, first revealed that according to our source, up to 4 spinoffs from The Mandalorian were being developed. The nature of these shows was described to us as being like one big narrative. The actual description of our source, the actual description our source used was to take Game of Thrones as an example. If each house of Westeros had its own show, that all interconnected into one big narrative. Okay. I don't know Game of Thrones, so all this is going to mean nothing to me, but I'll read it. I.e. shows about the Starks, Lannisters, Targaryens. They're all telling one overall story. Our source listed 4 shows as being in development: Ahsoka, Boba Fett, Ezra, Thrawn, and an unnamed mysterious show. Okay. Well, that's cool. I would love to see an Ezra Miller show. Not Ezra Miller, I'm sorry. Ezra Bridger. God, different Ezra. One being fictional, one being an actual person. Oh my God. All right.
Story boot that.
All right. The outlet's source seems to be saying they've also heard about this Ahsoka, Boba Fett, and Mysterious Show, but not the one about Ezra and Thrawn. Now, there are several reasons this matches up. For one, LRM's source is 100% not the same source as whoever is feeding info to KRT. Different sources are going to have slightly different levels of information. Secondly, we here at LRM know that the entertainment industry can change on a dime, especially in the post-coronavirus world. Perhaps the Ezra Thrawn show has been put on the back burner recently. LRM has reached out to our source to see if there's any clarification on this. And if we get any information back, we will share as always. All right. Well, that's cool, man. I'm looking forward to seeing all of these when they happen. Let's see, next story. Shazam 2. Shazam 2 filming update indicates the movie won't be delayed, is what the title of this thing says. The highly anticipated Shazam sequel has already been delayed one time by Warner Brothers Pictures. But if a new report is to be believed, that won't happen again. At least not in the foreseeable future, according to the Illuminati Com. The plan right now for the follow-up is for production to begin in the spring of 2021. This will give the sequel plenty of time to shoot and then to be in post-production for its visual effects work ahead of its planned November 4th, 2022 release. The feature film was previously delayed due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, which could, in theory, delay it further. But as of now, the studio intends to shoot it next year. Obviously, that could change in the coming months. Zachary Levi will return as the hero in the film along with director David F. Sandberg, who will step behind the camera once again. Screenwriter Henry Gayden was previously tapped to return to pen the script. Levi previously spoke about his hopes for the sequel during a virtual appearance at AwesomeCon Online 2020, saying, quote, "The truth is I don't know much because they're still working on the script. I know some general stuff, and I'm super stoked about all of the general stuff I've heard. But ultimately, I want the movie to be better than what we gave people the first time. I think was really a really good movie." Okay. It's unclear who else from the first film will reprise their roles in the sequel, but fans already have their hopes that Henry Cavill's Superman will actually make an appearance this time around. The actor had originally been scheduled to appear in the first film's post-credit scene, but scheduling conflicts prevented him from happening. All right. There's a little bit more to that story, but I'll let you guys read it if you want to hear the rest of it. I'm not going to read all of that because I still got a lot of stories to go through here. And here we go. The next story is somebody found Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves' Bill and Ted audition tapes. Oh, I didn't mean to close that. Oops. Here we go. This is what it says here. While the Wild Stallions' desire to have Eddie Van Halen playing guitar in their band remained intact, audition tapes from Keanu Reeves and Alex Winters reveal that in between casting and production, a lot of other things changed. For starters, in the video above, Keanu plays Bill S. Preston Esquire, while Alex Winter plays Ted Theodore Logan. The difference is striking, as the chemistry between the two actors remains largely intact, but the somewhat more assertive personality that Bill has is delivered. Okay, hold on. But with the somewhat more assertive personality that Bill has is delivered with a much harder edge out of Reeves than his version of Ted would have turned out to be. Okay. Oh, there's a second video here. Oh, that's cool. You know, I don't think I realized that they were playing opposite characters. when I first watched that video. There's two videos here. I'm not going to play them right now. But if you want to see these videos of them in their screen test, the link will be in the show notes. Notes.206geek.com. Just go through that and look for the Bill and Ted link. All right. Next story. The Flash Season 7. All right. The Flash plans to start filming Season 7 this fall in Vancouver with COVID-19 safety protocols. Target start date for filming is September 22nd. Oh, dude. Dude. You know, if the borders weren't closed, I would be like, hey, let's go up and watch. Because that's the day after my birthday this year. Oh, that'd be so cool. And it says here, Season 7, after a thrilling cliffhanger which saw the new Mirror Master victorious and still at large in Central City, the Flash must regroup in order to stop her and find a way to make contact with his missing wife. His missing wife, Iris. With help from the rest of the Team Flash, which includes Caitlin Snow, Cisco Ramon, and Nash Wells, as well as the Flash's adoptive father, Joe West, Met attorney Cecil Horton, Cecile, I knew that. Cecile, not Cecil. Cecile, tough cub reporter, Allegra Garcia, and brilliant tech nerd Chester P. Ruck. Flash will ultimately defeat Mirror Master, but in doing so, he'll also unleash an even more powerful and devastating threat on Central City. One that threatens to tear his team and his marriage apart. And it says here, that's actually kind of cool. It says, cast from outside Canada will have to qualify for the Canadian government-approved border exemption. Yeah, that's why I'm not going to get up there. Followed by the strict 14-day full quarantine before heading to set. And somebody photoshopped the Flash wearing a face mask that covers his nose and his mouth over the top of his Flash mask, which doesn't cover his nose and his mouth. That's pretty cool. All right, next story. I think I added way too many stories for today. I think I'll do one more here, and then I'll end this. And then what I'll do is I will read the rest of the stories on a live stream. But the links are still available at notes.206geek.com. If you heard me talking, listing off the things I'm going to talk about, and you're like, he didn't get to the story I wanted to hear about, you can check those stories out yourself. But I will do a live stream with those last like five or six stories, because there's a bunch. I didn't realize I had so many stories here. All right. So the next one on the list is, creators reveal how and where the idea for Bill and Ted started. All right. This is also on LRM Online, which is Latino Review Magazine. Bill and Ted have had an excellent adventure as well as a bogus journey. And, well, nearly 30 years later, they will be making a most triumphant return to Face the Music. The two are an unusual but bodacious pair of dudes, who, to say the least. This raises the question, how did writers Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson come up with the idea for the characters? As legend has it, Solomon and Matheson used to rent out a theater and invite comedians for a good old improv-type freestyle session. Solomon explained below the three-person skit that led to Bill and Ted. The three sitting around trying to study without having any idea about what they're talking about. Quote unquote. And then Matheson then goes into further detail. They were really, really ignorant teenage boys who knew nothing about anything, trying to talk about world affairs, and it had nothing to do with history at that point. It was just current events. Everything was either bogus or excellent. That's so funny. While no one will mistake Bill and Ted for members of Mensa, the two do have a resplendent vocabulary. It's not a word in my vocabulary, that's for damn sure.
Todd, don't be an asshole.
All right, fine. See here. I lost my place. Hold on. All right. I love the films when I was younger. However, one aspect of the film has always seemed hard to believe. The time travel? Nope. I'm good with that. It's that Bill and Ted aren't shown ones partaking in some doobage. What? Okay. I mean, I understand why, but the accents, such as theirs, come through a few select activities. Off the top of my head, surfing, skateboarding, or the most likely culprit, ripping the bong. A combination of those also are acceptable. There's also the whole musician thing. Anyway, with the film's release just around the corner, this was a gnarly bit of info on the franchise's origins. I can hardly wait for the film, as well as being able to say the Bill and Ted trilogy. Bill and Ted Face the Music is released on August 28th in theaters for limited release, and also on digital. I don't know. Yeah, you know what? It never occurred to me that these guys smoked weed, because they didn't strike me. Other than their vocabulary and the way they dress, they just didn't seem like they were into it. They were more about babes and music than anything else. I suppose there could have been a more R-rated version of the two where they were, like, you know, puffing on spliffs and shit, or whatever you want to call them. All right. So if you want to check out the last few stories that I have listed here, which include Kevin Smith has a story for Tusk 2, Amazon Prime is debuting 8 brand new Blumhouse movies starting this October. Mulan Disney Plus reveals how Premier Access will work. The new Star Wars holiday special is coming to Disney Plus. James Gunn's Suicide Squad cast teased DC Fandom. And Swamp Thing premiere date on the CW. I will do all that on a live stream. And of course, you know, when you're listening to this, you'd be like, dude, well, just know that I will do that either later today or probably tomorrow. So if you don't get this episode the day it's uploaded to the internet, you'll still be able to watch the video of me talking about the other things just by going to facebook.com/206geek. It'll be in the videos. I think I might record it on Get Vocal. So if you want to head over to Get Vocal, just go to getvokal.206geek.com and it will be there as well. So thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys next week. Also, please subscribe to the channel over on Get Vocal. I'm still doing live shows every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. And thanks a lot. Bye. And as always, if you want to see any of the stories that I talked about, you can go to notes.206geek.com and you'll see the notes for the current episode listed there. That's notes.206geek.com. And now is the part of the show where I like to thank those who support the podcast. And if you also want to become a podcast supporter, you can go to support.206geek.com. Thank you, Leanne P., for your support.